From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life. Hello, Archbishop.
Pat, it is great to be with you and all those who are joining us in the broadcast, and we have a special guest.
We do, and that special guest, as we started the show, took a breath in, ready to talk, because he normally would come in right after I started, because we are so honored to have a longtime co-host, Father Stephen Verzel, with us today. Father, thank you for being here.
So happy to be here, and I feel like you were prepared to catch me on that.
I feel like you were ready. I feel like we have the band back together again. Because Father Verzel used to be such a wonderful part of this program, and he stepped away, understandably, because of increased demands on his ministry when he received a new assignment in a larger parish, and
parishes,
that's true, two parishes now, and thank you for that catch, and but we have him back, and it's for a deliberate reason, because of the topic today.
Because of the topic. I think we need to do away with our topic, and you mentioned a new assignment for priests. Let's just talk about that today instead.
Well, Pat, that was what we were going to talk about. Say a prayer? I think we need.
Sounds great.
All right. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, we thank you for the gift of the church, and we thank you for the gift of the Eucharist and for our priests who, in such a dedicated fashion, serve us in word and in worship and service. Be with us in all that happens to us today, and may our lives truly give you honor and glory as we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. So it's the time of year when priests move in this archdiocese. I assume that it's kind of similar around the country, Archbishop.
It is, at least in the United States. Holy Mother, the Church, good teacher that she is, has decided that priests should move from their old to their new parish assignments at the hottest time of year. I guess it builds character. But the real reason is that a number of parishes have parish schools. And so it just works out better that new assignments take place during the summer so that there's no disruption to a parish school in receiving a new pastor in the middle of the school year. So that's probably how the tradition began. But most, there's no rule on this, it just works out that most new assignments, parish assignments of priests, occur in the summer.
And, you know, one of the reasons we had Father Verzel in is because you went through this a year ago. We didn't want to impose on anybody who was just moving now and just getting in their parishes. So it's fresh because a year ago you moved.
And yes, a year is not a very long time.
You know, this year seems like forever, though. It just, my COVID timing has, everything seems like it was 3 years ago.
And for Father Verzel, it's not his first time to be appointed pastor. A year ago, he was appointed pastor of St. Mary Parish and St. Joan of Arc Parish in Mobile. But before that, he served as pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish out in Tillman's Corners. And before that, he was a parochial vicar at St. Pius X Parish in Mobile. So he has had the experience of new assignments, of a priest going to a new assignment in a new parish. I just think it'd be good for us to reflect upon that. Because right now a number of parishes in our archdiocese, Pat, as you mentioned, are receiving either new pastors or new parochial vicars. And I would just hope that parishioners would make their new pastor, their new parochial vicar, their new priest welcomed. And that can be an adjustment, because we have such wonderful priests that parishioners very often say, oh, I'm going to miss the priest who was here. and I wish he wasn't leaving. And so I guess the first question that people may have is, well, why are there new assignments for a priest, and how does this come about? And the easiest way to answer that is that there is a committee of priests, most of whom are elected by the priest. From the priests are divided into age groups, and so they're not all of one age. And the priests elect most of the members of this committee, this priest personnel committee. And when there's a need for a parish to receive a new priest, they meet and they discuss the matter and they make recommendations to me. And we discuss, I meet with them and we discuss their recommendations and why. And as brother priest, they know the strengths and of each of their brother priests. They know their temperaments, their abilities. They also have a wide understanding of the archdiocese, and so they can come up with very good recommendations. I mean, it's always the decision of the archbishop, but they are tremendous help. And so this year, with our assignments, that's how this came about. A lot of the assignments were caused by two of our priests retiring and one priest who belongs to a religious order being assigned by his religious superiors outside the Archdiocese of Mobile. So that began like a domino effect of one priest has to move, well, another has to replace him, etc. And God be praised, a new priest was ordained. So that's what caused, brought about so many of the new assignments.
And similar reasons for when I received my most recent new assignments, I was taking the place of a newly retired priest in the archdiocese. So that's a lot of times there's just simply a need that needs to be filled. I am particularly grateful because I do appreciate being able to serve in a parish with a school. And so being at St. Mary's is certainly something that I appreciate for that regard. But I wanted to touch upon something that you said, Archbishop, encouraging parishioners to be welcoming to their new priests. And I certainly want to recognize both over the last year, the parishioners at St. Mary's and the parishioners at St. Joan of Arc for being tremendously welcoming through a very difficult year. And also when I first went to St. Vincent's 8 years ago, a very warm welcome there too. So I don't think you intended it this way at all, but the people of the Archdiocese, I think, are quite good. But it about, you know, inviting and welcoming their new pastors into their lives and into their homes. But I think that we'll give you some more considerations, dear listeners, some more ideas, some more things to think about as you welcome this new man of God into your life.
There is a mutual adjustment that has to go on, isn't there? Mm-hmm. The people, the parishioners, have to adjust to a new priest who's going to be different. You know, every priest is different. And at the same time, the new priest coming in, he has to adjust to new parishioners. And I'll ask the two of you all jump in here. As a priest, Father Rizal, as a layman, Mr. Ahrensberg, what do you see as some of the adjustments that priest?
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. And we're talking about the new assignments for priests that usually happen about this time of year. You know, Father, I'll punt to you mostly on this, but the one element I really want to emphasize is that in so many ways there are parallels between being a pastor and head of a parish family and being the head of a family as a husband and father. There are so many parallels. But there's one place where the parallels fall apart, and that is, you know, we don't change dads in my family. And that really is, I mean, in so many ways, I mean, think of a husband and a father. He knows where the light switches are. He knows when the bills come. There's a routine. He knows, okay, when that pipe broke, I remember how it got fixed. I mean, there's a comfort. And then bang, and you're in a completely different setting. That's got to be kind of difficult.
Oh, it's certainly jarring. I mean, gosh, the list, just as you're saying those things, 10 more things popped into my mind of just the things that you get accustomed to, that you take for granted, even when you've been in a place for a long, long time. I was at St. Vincent's for 7 years, and you get used to knowing how things work. You get used to knowing who you can turn to in a given situation. If something breaks, you know, you've got parishioners that can handle that. I've got to relearn who those people are at my new assignment. Getting used to the schedule. Every parish has a different mass schedule, for daily mass and for weekend masses. Getting used to other parish clergy, even. You know, I was accustomed to being the only person in my last assignment, but now Father Cecil Spotswood also serves at St. Mary's and St. Joan of Arc. So getting used to serving with someone else does take some adjustment. If the question was, is it difficult? Sure, the answer is yes. It's, but never overly difficult, but it just takes a lot of extra effort over, especially that first year, that first few months to just get to know people's names and faces. And you know, we keep turning to the light switches, but that is very much a thing you have to learn.
So what are some of the blessings that come with that, Father? I mean, I think, you know, one of the things, I think when people go on a pilgrimage, for example, the fact that they're uncomfortable, that they don't know where the light switches are, that they don't speak the language, that they're a little bit off, makes them a little more receptive, I think. And I think that's one of the benefits of a pilgrimage, is that you're out of your comfort zone. Can either of you, as priests who have moved assignments, I'm sure.
Certainly. You get accustomed to, you get into a certain pattern of behavior, of thought, of expectation that it's almost something I thought, Archbishop, you were going to bring up when you said, why do we move priests? One of the reasons that priests are assigned to new parishes is because we get kind of used to things, and the people of God need a change because, you know, for instance, preaching. You start to hear the same thing over and over again, but not one man has the fullness of the gospel ready to be represented in his homilies, right? So that disruption is not just a matter of, you know, the person who comes after me into a parish, that they're given a different approach to preaching, but also when I move a place, I'm suddenly reminded of so many of the things that I want to present, that I feel called to present to the people of God, that you just assume, oh, well, they've heard me say that before at my other parish, but, well, I'm in a new place now, and they haven't heard me say this before, and I get to reemphasize that. I get to approach it with years of experience that I didn't have previously, and that message is changed a little bit. The edge is sharpened, maybe, or dulled, I don't know. But there are so many positives to this sort of disruption to your routine and to your expectations that it's hard to enumerate, it's hard to qualify, but I think it does benefit both parishioners and priests when there is a change. It's not just, oh gosh, I got to get used to this different situation. This different situation is going to bring something more out of me, and that's good for everybody.
And, you know, sometimes a priest requests to be moved. And I would just hope parishioners would understand that that's not saying something negative about the parishioners at all. I remember, I'll give an example. When I was vicar general years ago in another archdiocese, a priest came to me and he said, would the archbishop be willing to move me to another parish? And I said, well, why would you want to move to another parish? He said, well, I've been here X number of years. And he says, I think I've given everything I can right now. I think it'd be better for them, for the parishioners, to hear the word of God from another priest. I think I've given what I can give, given my talents and abilities and shortcomings. He says, I don't have another parish in mind, but he said, would the archbishop be willing to move me? And I can just tell the people I didn't want to move, but he moved me. I said, oh, I said, that's not honest. He said, no, but I love the people, and I don't want them to think I don't love them. I just don't know that I can tell them that I've asked to be moved, because they're going to think I don't like them, and I love them deeply, but I love them enough to ask for another assignment. You know, and make a long story short, I said, no, you need to say that to the people. I think that's very important, that you're honest with the people and say, I do love you. This is not a sign that I don't love you. Because otherwise, you're just going to create anger for the Archbishop, which isn't fair to him. But I think it's important people just hear the truth, and they will understand that. So I would just say to people, if ever you find out that your priest has said, I'd like a new assignment, that's not a reflection on the people of the parish. It's very often an act of love on the part of the priest that I think I've given what I can.
I mean, from a personal perspective, Archbishop, I almost feel like you're speaking about me. I am on record and having spoken to the parishioners at St. Vincent's numerous times, and both publicly and privately, that I asked to be moved. That was primarily because I want to serve in a parish that has a school. But also, over the last year, I've realized just how complacent on a lot of things I got, just how I think that maybe my presentation of the gospel had become a little bit stale. And it is good for people to have a change, and to be able to be ministered to by someone else who is also called by God to do this. So, I do appreciate the way that you put it, that priest didn't want his parishioners to think that he didn't love them, because my goodness, I truly do love the people at St. Vincent's, and I still do to this day. And I am, thank God for my time there. But it was time for me to move on. God calls us in all different directions at different times in our lives.
Yep, there's no set number of years that a priest should stay in a parish. It just depends. Sometimes it's only a few years, sometimes it's many years. It's hard to say what the best number of years is, but that's a discernment that the priest should prayerfully consider, and which the priest personnel committee needs to carefully, prayerfully consider, as well as the archbishop. And just for the good of the people of God, sometimes it is good to receive a new priest. Every priest is dedicated to his priestly ministry, but they're all going to be different. I know sometimes people ask me, well, do priests always want to go to a larger parish? And I laugh. I said, no, you know, the old saying, one man's meat is another man's poison. That's certainly true for priests. I mean, some priests just thrive. Like Father Frizzell, you just said you really look forward to being pastor of a parish with a school. Other priests would say, I don't know anything about schools. That's just not, I'd like a small parish in the country, you know, or in a rural or small town. Other priests would say, no, I really want a larger parish where there's a lot of different parish organizations. One man's meat is another man's poison. And that's where, again, going back to the priest personnel committee, why they're so important, because they know the priest and their temperaments and their abilities, and they do a very good job of recommending this would be a good fit for the parish and for the priest.
So it's time for a station identification break. You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. One of the things that strikes me, you know, I was in the seminary, and I didn't feel, at the end, I didn't feel called to priesthood. I didn't feel called to celibacy, but nor did I never was comfortable with the idea of obedience. The notion that I would put my hands, I could put my hands into yours and make a promise of obedience to you, but to you and your successors? That's a blank check. That's a big blank check. And you, Archbishop, you can fire me. Don't get that gleam in your eye, please. You can fire me, but you can't make me move. You know, a priest gives his bishop carte blanche to move him, to put him into different ministries. How do you handle that responsibility, that privilege, that blessing, that really?
It is something I take extremely seriously. You know, I tell the seminarians, and this may sound odd to some of our listeners, but I tell the seminarians that the promise of obedience is more countercultural than a promise of celibacy. People can understand celibacy, whether or not they feel called to it, better than the idea in our society today to say, I give obedience to another person, and I will do not just follow orders, you know, with my job. No, where I live, what I do, where my assignment, what town I'm going to go to. This is very countercultural. Most young people would say, oh, no, I'm not, I want to be independent. And it's very countercultural. But that's what a priest says. And the idea of obedience in the church, and this is why it's such a responsibility for the bishop, is that it is our understanding as priests that God speaks through my superior. That's true of members of religious orders. It's true of diocesan priest. And so in obeying my superior, I'm obeying God. You know, and now that means for the superior needs to be listening to God. But for the priest, he can stand before God one day and say, I followed my directives that my superior gave me. And I'm not talking about immoral acts. I'm talking about just, as we were talking about, the obedience of a priest. And
even when I don't see the logic of it necessarily.
I don't see the logic. I don't understand it. I don't agree with it. Mm-hmm. But I trust God works through my superior. And a priest then one day can stand before God and can say, I trusted that you spoke through my superior. It's the superior who then has to stand before God and say, I did my best to listen to what you were prompting me to do. That's a very heavy responsibility on the part of a religious superior, part of a bishop, to know one day I must stand before God and give an accounting for how did I exercise the authority the church gave to me in calling men to be obedient to my decisions.
So what does it look like then for you, Archbishop? So I know you mentioned a priest personnel board. So they meet, they give recommendations, they communicate that to you in some way in a meeting or in writing.
How it works, the way that I do it is that I meet in person with the committee. We talk about the situation, you know, that these priests have retired, this priest is moving out, we have a newly ordained. Now, then I leave. And the committee then meets and talks. And why do I leave? Because, frankly, I find that having been a priest on a personnel committee years ago, the discussion is more frank if the bishop is not present. And so I leave. And when they are ready, they call me back into the room. And then I come back in the room and I ask for their recommendations. But I hear it from everyone on the committee. One member of the committee doesn't come meet with me this way, because sometimes there are different perspectives. And it's like, well, some of us feel this would be a good assignment, but a couple of us feel it isn't. And why? And we can get into a very good discussion then. And then I take those recommendations and I take them to prayer. You know, sometimes the priests who's receiving a new assignment is very much open to it. Sometimes the priests really would prefer not to receive the new assignment. But it's our calling as priests to be obedient. And because as much as the needs of the priest have to be kept in mind, it's the needs of the people that we must serve. So I just ask priests to the people, parishioners, please be supportive of your priest.
And as I said, we really do feel that support. But the kinds of challenges that the priest is facing are, they're not the things that you would expect necessarily. So especially, you know, if he's having a rough day, especially that first year or whatever, give him an inch. I certainly have appreciated the times when people have been patient with me when I couldn't find this or that thing or whatever, whether it's a small practical thing or, you know, trying to just get on board with, learn the mission of the parish as understood by the people there, and just becoming co-workers in the venue. I mean, it just takes so much stretching on the part of both the priest and the people. We hopefully succeed in being patient, and we ask that you join us in that.
Yeah, and please be aware, when a new priest comes in, a new pastor, sometimes they don't know that they're messing up what's happened before. Oh, yeah. I'll just give one little example. New pastor came in. At the end of Mass, someone said, "Father, what do you want us to do with the collection?" And he said, "Well, just do this with it." And what he didn't realize is that for several years, there was a group of three people who did that with the collection, did something else. And he offended those three people without even knowing it, because he didn't know what had happened before. So just be patient. It's a lot of mutual adjustment, and just keep our parishes vibrant places of faith.
Archbishop, would you give us a blessing as we close?
Well, may the blessing of God be upon each of you, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.